The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He's Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley, back from the weekend into a Monday. Gary, how are you?
I'm good, but I want to get some clarification here. So it is okay now, you know, because you and I just started the discussion here in our pre-show meeting about how to format the show, how we should format the show from now on. And so you and I were having this discussion as to whether we should respond to those who use their racist filth against us by using racist filth against them. Wondering, should that be the format of the show now? Because apparently now it's okay with the left.
Yeah, I don't know that it's ever not been okay with the left.
Oh, okay.
Right?
I just want to make sure that it is okay for us now, because I'm sure that our company would be fine with that. Well, look, the guys were just responding.
They make excuses for us all the time. So why not with this?
Exactly. So we'll get to that coming up here in just a little bit. LeBron James, of course, had it completely wrong. Focus, people. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. When fake news isn't. When the actual fake news isn't. You ready for this?
All right.
There's the Onion out there, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's the Babylon Bee,
mm-hmm.
which is more of a conservative parody site.
Mm-hmm.
But here's a headline. Senate Democrats demand Supreme Court nominee not be unduly influenced by the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah, exactly. No, but it's funny because you write a satire or parody and in today's world, and it's really based in the truth.
The fake news isn't fake news.
It's not fake news.
the people that actually on purpose do the fake news,
yes,
can sometimes be closer to the truth than the people that are actually supposed to be doing the real news.
And the real news is funnier at times.
Yes. And there it is. Senate Democrats demand Supreme Court nominee not be unduly influenced by the U.S. Constitution. Still reeling from Trump's previous Supreme Court nominee, Neil Gorsuch, Democrats plan to scrutinize any new nominee to ensure that he or she isn't yet another judge who relies and relates to the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. That's,
yeah. How dare you want to abide by
and here's
the Constitution.
And here's this. Okay, remember, this is actually fake. They are a parody news site. But the fact is, they may not be a parody site anymore.
No, but the story is actually based in truth.
And now, here is a quote that they have attributed to Senator Cory Booker. We're sick and tired of the Constitution sitting in the National Archives, manipulating everything we do.
Okay, that part may be completely fake. Maybe. Maybe. I mean, I'd have to look at it. Wow.
Booker then called for a 10-minute recess for him to refresh his supply of fake tears.
And fake outrage.
Before he could continue.
Yeah.
Oh, so I just got a huge kick out of that one.
Well, it's interesting that, I mean, we can go through how many different articles by mainstream media and tear them down, and they're, okay, the Hill. Biden is dominating in all the polls. Okay, you get halfway through the story and they actually say, well, it doesn't really mean much because they didn't compare any of these would-be candidates on the left to Trump. I mean, that right there would be There's your parody website. There's your satire, right? No. No, no, no. That's the real website. Dominating. If the election were held today... Yeah, but it's not going to be.
Well, you know, I was going through some of Don Lemon's, tweets and comments about the whole LeBron James thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, they're interviewing LeBron, and afterwards, you know, he wrote LeBron is building schools while Trump is building cages. Mm. And... just that story to begin with and how that was covered. Well, LeBron James being criticized that he helps people. Doesn't matter. Is what he said accurate? You know, you and I went through this with the whole Trayvon Martin thing. I always go back to the Trayvon Martin thing because people were taking sides and didn't know what happened in really that, what was that, 4-minute span?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knows today what happened in that 4-minute span. Nobody has any idea what happened in the Trayvon Martin case. Because nobody knows what happened in that. There were no witnesses to that 4-minute span. Yet people take opinions on it and have come to conclusions on it. And we do this all the time. For some reason, we can't focus on what the actual evidence is that exists out there. Mm-hmm. Forget about whether you like Donald Trump. Forget whether you believe Michael Jordan or LeBron James, whether Michael Jordan's a better basketball player than LeBron James, or whether LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan, or whether Trump has a good golf game. But focus in on what LeBron James actually said, that the president is dividing the country through sports,
mm-hmm.
referring to Colin Kaepernick.
Mm-hmm.
That's an inaccurate statement. Colin Kaepernick is dividing the country through sports.
As far as I know, President Trump didn't order, in fact, wasn't president when he started all that.
No, he was not.
And has never ordered anyone to take a knee. Quite
right.
The opposite.
Right. Colin Kaepernick is dividing. Michael Bennett dividing people through sports.
And lying about it. Lying about the entire premise of how the situation went down and what happened after that situation went down. It carried it all over again for weeks.
You may disagree with the president responding those who wish to divide America through sports. But the president was commenting on those that are attempting to divide America through sports.
Mm-hmm.
The president isn't dividing people through sports. When you actually get down to the actual statement that LeBron James made, and this is what infuriates people about the media out there.
Mm-hmm.
If you wonder, media, why you just can't understand what's going on, that's the perfect example. Take everything out of it. Doesn't matter that LeBron James is helping 1,000 kids. Not in the context of this accusation and this story specifically to what he said about the president.
No, you we can separate the two. We can say, okay, great, building a school is a good thing. We'll see if that actually works out long term. Great. Separate from this.
Helping kids is one thing. Helping kids is one thing. Saying a completely inaccurate statement in an interview about you helping kids with their education still must be brought to the attention of the people that it is a completely and totally inaccurate statement. And we just can't get, the left just can't get there, and the media just can't get there. And they wonder why. Well, that was it right there. It doesn't matter whether he's helping kids with education, and it doesn't matter what Trump's immigration policy is. Was the statement accurate? The president responded on Twitter as if he only goes after black celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
That he never attacks anyone who isn't a minority.
Right.
Which, of course, as we know, is completely also and totally inaccurate. But LeBron James, on the statement itself, was completely wrong. Now, he either did it He either does not have a clue as to what's going on, or he intentionally lied and distorted what the truth is.
It's one of the two.
One of the two. End of story. And that's why.
Well, and then
that's why people feel
the tweet about the tower meeting, and they wanted that to basically equate, because if you look at all the stories, many of them leave out the fact that the last line in that tweet was, "I didn't have any knowledge about it. I didn't know about it." But him stating that the meeting was based on getting opposition research, which number one is not illegal, and the president pointed that out in the tweet. It's something we've also known when we saw the Donald Trump Jr. Emails that he put out, that Trump Jr. put out. Remember,
and then the president's press conference over a year ago when he stated that.
Yes, and then
point is that if it's a new story,
and what is the dossier? Anyone? What is the dossier? Anyone know what the dossier is? The left? Well, no, it wasn't. It wasn't. And then they started defending the dossier. But in this version of how everything went down, it's as if the dossier doesn't exist. It was unverified information, dirt on Trump, that the DNC and Hillary paid for. But they want you to forget about that part of it. Got to hold the water. Hold the water for the left. The media's absolutely, absolutely, right now, basically making the public
case. Now, was the president inconsistent in the past? Yes.
Oh, sure.
He was inconsistent on the past in his explanation of it. But he had said this, I think it was in July of 2017, at an actual press conference.
Mm-hmm.
So it's old news. Now,
right.
There is a danger, as we have always said. The president tweeting and changing explanations when it comes to something legal.
Well, here's the thing. Phrasing is not one of the strong points of the president. In the past, he has said the meeting ended up being about adoptions, or the meeting was about adoptions. That's actually what the meeting was about. That's what they actually talked about. What was the intention of the meeting ahead of time? Trump Jr. was told that they were going to get dirt on Hillary. Neither one of those topics is illegal to talk about.
No.
Except for we have to bring up the point that Veselnitskaya was here, possibly on a overextending her visa or violating the bounds of her visa, and the left may try to make the case that they were concerned about her being here illegally in a sanctuary city.
Yeah,
laughable.
We had mentioned that many times, mm-hmm. or have we not?
Yeah, and there's the equation. They want you to believe what the media wants you to believe. And we've talked about the president's messaging and everything else, including Twitter, and how the things should be focused on all the great things that are happening with the economy. Promote the positive and nothing but the positive, at least through the midterm. I'd keep it going through Election Day 2020, but that's just me. But they want you to believe that this was about him admitting that he knew ahead of time. It's almost like last week when they started the Manafort trial, the media wanted you to believe it was about Russia and collusion, but it wasn't. They tried their hardest. What was it, the New York Times? It's not about Russia, but Russia is in the air. That's the ridiculous behavior that they're so desperate to get something on this president. Just desperate to get something on this president.
Thing that got me the most was not those tweets, but the tariff tweets over the weekend.
Yeah,
which
right,
are just
right.
mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. Where now he's back to where he was before he became the most free market president. He's back to where he is again today, or you know, this past weekend with his total and complete protectionist talk, mm-hmm. and how the taxes right. on the American public are good because they will help the Treasury.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's back. So that, to me, is more bothersome than anything else that he did over the weekend, because that will affect what does the market hate the most? Uncertainty.
Yes.
What do businesses hate the most? Uncertainty. And on trade, the president, again, is all over the place.
And who was it? I think the Washington Examiner had one version of this story where the trade deficit has grown by 7% with the tariffs. Again, this is something that...
well, if you know, the majority of them haven't gone into effect yet.
Well,
won't affect the economy for 6 months to a year from now.
Right, but still, some of them have. And what yes. he's trying to do isn't about... It really isn't about anything else, about except for what he's believed in for years. And he's probably fighting advisors every single day, in fact, day and night over something like this. And in one of his tweets saying, tax them, the foreign nations.
Right.
We pay that tax.
We pay that tax, yes. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Also coming up on the show today, a new study on how the minimum wage hurts job growth. The government-supported press, this is an interesting thing. We had mentioned it about a couple, maybe 10 days ago, about New Jersey talking about subsidizing some of their media.
Yeah.
Those who do local news and things like that. We'll get to that. Hollywood news out there, the delusion of Howard Dean.
Hmm.
I mean, just absolute delusion. Howard Dean talking about the fact that, okay, yeah, we might be, young people might be liberally socialist, but economically they're more libertarian.
No.
I know.
No.
How are you observing the
yeah.
world? An NFL kneeling update.
All right.
They have a reprieve. Nobody kneeled in the first game.
Well, did they remember to kneel? Dang it! We forgot to kneel.
No, I forgot who. I think it was Baltimore that they had talked to a few of the players. They said, "No, we made the decision that we need to be united as a team.
Mm.
We either need to do one thing or another thing. We cannot
right.
be separated
right.
in the locker room." And you and I talked about how that eventually was going to come to the forefront. Also,
sure,
along
sure.
with
right.
along with the money angle.
The money, right, right. Yeah, I think that's one of the first things you mentioned. Look, they're going to have to have unity in the locker room. And that's probably where the teams will go on that. For Cobra Electronics, here's your forecast.
If you reside in a location that has been particularly rainy or perhaps hot or dry, expect more of the same as we're seemingly locked into this pattern as we begin the work week. We do have a major change, though, in our hurricane forecast for the remainder of the year. A well-known source of hurricane prediction, Colorado State University, has lowered their expected number. 12 now total named storms, the forecast, with 5 becoming hurricanes, and only 2 are expected to be Category 3 or higher. Good news for anyone along the Atlantic or with coastal interests. They say Atlantic water temperatures are too cool for hurricane development, but we need to keep watching the Gulf. That can be a game changer. We should top out today in Dallas over the triple-digit mark. Chicago will hit 87. New York City, 90 degrees. In Denver, 88 for today's high. There's your national forecast. From Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE. We'll be right back.
time to save society. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara, Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Welcome and good morning. Thanks for being here. Let's head to you. We go to Israel in Texas on LeBron James. Israel, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Awesome. Yeah, I just want to make a point. I was listening to what you guys said about how LeBron James had kind of purposely made a false statement on the president as far as what his comment was. And I kind of understand his comment, and maybe y'all just didn't read it correctly. What it is, LeBron James is a team player. And he's always played team sports all his life. So, you know, and so a team gets together, they make their strategy, and then they go out and they perform it. Donald Trump, on the other hand, has never really been a team player. He's a solo artist.
All right, bad analogy. Israel, bad analogy. You know why it's a bad analogy? Because a team has a common goal. A government does not. A government is split into political parties that many times disagree 180% about what the goal should
be. About political parties.
I don't care about LeBron James' fantasy world that he wishes to live in. I'm talking about the reality of the real world. And the real world is LeBron James, if you believe that's how he thinks, and he hasn't said this, this is your analysis of how you believe LeBron James thinks.
You did the same thing.
The what?
I mean, the same thing I'm saying. You have your opinion about what you believe.
I told you LeBron James was wrong in his statement. It's not Trump. It's not Trump.
Right.
He's not. It's not Trump dividing the nation through sport. It was Colin Kaepernick. Trump was responding to him. And there's two sides to every. Again, there's two or more sides to every issue. It's not the same as being on a basketball team where your goal is the same. Having multi-political parties that disagree on it, we are never going to be united as a team. That's the reality. Grown-ups know that. Grown-ups who understand the Constitution know that. We don't sit in our little fantasy world and believe, why can't we all be united and all agree on everything and all do what's right? That is the ignorant and the simpletons and the elite of our society that throw out those simple phrases that are not in any way reflective of the society that we live in today.
Because I could make the case that Kaepernick, wow, this is going to be a stretch, and Dak Prescott are both team players. Well, Kaepernick used to be a team player when he was actually
on a team.
On a team. Two sides of the issue. So that's kind of a bizarre excuse making for LeBron.
Right.
And it was a false statement. Trump didn't start the kneeling. And Trump's reaction to the kneeling wasn't what created the division.
It started way before Trump. Trump wasn't even in office.
He wasn't even president when all that began. And that's really a stretch to say that the difference is Trump's in it for himself. LeBron's a team player. Okay. Let's come back down to earth and take a look at the statement and what we said about the statement.
Trump's team, and I mean the people that support him, Trump's fans, if we're going to make a basketball analogy, Trump's fans are solidly behind him.
Now, his actual team, Republicans, not all of them are, but many of them are. Jeff Flake.
Remember, though, many times teams fight.
Yeah, they do.
By the way, the last call was saying, well, you're using your opinion and your analogy. No, I wouldn't have given that analogy unless you, I'm just responding to your opinion. I live in the real world. I chose to entertain, your analogy. That's all. But in the real world, and that's what we live in, I would have not have come up with the team concept versus the president as a solo person.
It doesn't apply here.
It doesn't apply, and I was letting you know why it didn't apply. But the fact is, in the real world, the president, whether it's Obama, every president divides. Hey, wake up! That's the real world. Why? We have differing opinions on how things should get done. Every president divides. Every politician divides. There isn't one politician in the United States of America that can unite all the people behind him.
Yeah, this isn't Venezuela.
Unless it's for a very, very short time after we have been attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And that is for the one purpose, and that is to defend us. But even that, as we saw after 9/11, frayed very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
My point is, Israel, to you, live in the real world.
Well, let's compare apples to apples and stay on topic.
Right. And well, as we look, we've talked about the Constitution. We've talked about, and by the way, I visited the Alamo over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Really amazing when you go through the history just of the American Revolution and how the American Revolution influenced republicanism, which, you know, representative government, mm-hmm. throughout the world over the next 100 years. They did a great history lesson when you go to the Alamo on that, how the American Revolution led to it, not only eventually in Europe, but in Mexico, in Latin America. And they actually documented, you know, everything that was influenced by the American Revolution, including the Texas Revolution,
mm-hmm.
which was really, I mean, it was fascinating to see that. But the fact is, the representative government, when we talk about our Constitution, everything that you and I have talked about over the last few months, when we talk about why it was set up, when we talk about the separation of powers, everything was set up because the founding fathers understood we're not going to agree on anything. We're never going to be united. And since we're not going to be united, you need to set up a society and a government infrastructure where power cannot be concentrated in one place. So all of these wild ideas, because we're not united on the issues day to day, and we get into passionate discussion. We get into civil disobedience. We get into riots. We get into violence. What is the system that can contain millions of human beings in one society without killing each other every day? Why? Because we're not united. We're united in the overall concept, many of us, but even many of us are not united in the overall concept.
No, not anymore.
Not anymore of the Constitution. So to say that, you know, he's a team player, nobody's a team player in politics. Why? Because there's always other teams that are trying to defeat you. So the analogy was dumb.
Well, it's just that, you know, if you're going to break down what people are saying, the comments that people of influence have, you're going to have to be honest. Trying to assign how people think or what they're trying to say is frankly ludicrous. We've said it about people trying to make an excuse for the president when we've disagreed with the president on the issues. What we think he's trying to, he's going to have to say that. LeBron never said, well, listen, I'm all about being a team player, and no, that's not what that was about.
I do find that interesting, because you and I have noticed this over the years, that people wish to project what a person they admire. They love to project what that person is really saying when they don't understand what he's saying.
Right.
Well, here's what he's really trying to say.
Yeah.
You don't know that. We take people on face value.
If he had said that, then the comment would be relevant. If LeBron had made that point in, or tried to make that point in the statement, that would have been relevant.
Right. We've been criticized. You guys take everybody too literally. Well, yeah, that's the only way we can take it. We believe and we analyze what people say, not what we think they say.
Right.
If you want to get in, we do have a line open. We'd love to hear from you. 866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. I'm just
shaking my head.
Yeah. You know what it is? Having 3 days off and paying attention to the news. Because we were off Friday, and so it was a full 3 days.
Yeah.
And so paying to, and you and I have talked about this before. When I was on vacation, you know, for a couple of days, I didn't pay attention, then I was back to it. Mm. But this time, I paid attention, you know, we were just out Friday, so every day. And by the time it gets to be Friday, there's so much being thrown at you.
It's, right.
Wow. 2 days is normally it for me. Dude, throw it at me for 2 days and I can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Without being on the air.
Right, right. Without having the vent, the ability to come in and vent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. But none of the just so you know, because we had just the last caller talked about LeBron James. Nobody kneeled at the game, on the Hall of Fame game. So
right, yeah,
that was. And the one team said that it was because I forgot which one it was. Said that they had it was a conscious decision. They're all going to be unified. Everybody will stand.
Well, and you know when it gets down to it, the team is. You're looking to do what? You're looking to get out there and get some wins. You can't do that without building that kind of unity in the locker room. You're going to have that.
You can't have those distractions.
Right. You know, I mean, the back and forth, you know, I mean, even the Cowboys and Dez and that whole thing, the back and forth, right? Mm-hmm. That which is separate from any protest, but it's one example of how a team could have distractions on and off the field. Well, that creates a problem. If you've got a quarterback in the case of a young quarterback like Dak Prescott, that's you know, according to the, you know, at least a couple of people being distracted by Dez, again, not about a protest, but any distraction can throw a team. The media being focused on something because the media is going to be, and then all of a sudden, everybody around you, if you're a player, if you're one of the other players, everything around you is going to be centered around what that other team member is doing that you're not a part of.
And then there are some teams that have no distractions year after year after year and still stink.
Yes.
So they
How are the Bills looking so far? How are they doing? How are they doing at camp?
I've seen two predictions. 2-14 and 3-13.
But they had a decent season last year.
Yeah, but their quarterback's gone. Their center's gone.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
you're going to need a quarterback.
Yeah.
Do they know that?
I don't know.
Are they aware that it requires them having a quarterback? I mean, they could punt, you know, every time, right?
Wait. One more football note.
What?
Did you watch it? It was on ESPN2 on Friday night.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Johnny Football.
Yeah, how'd he do? No?
Okay, it was technically his second pass, but I don't know. I thought the other one was more like a shuffle, but I thought it was a lateral. But the tweet said, first pass intercepted. He had 4 interceptions. They were beat 50-11.
Ouch.
If people don't know, Johnny Manziel started in the Canadian Football League,
right?
And for Montreal, and they got so I had to watch it. He still showed some flair out there, but he only had like 4 practices and then played. So.
You know, I wondered how that would go because you can't. He's going to really have to get back in shape.
Oh, they were down in the first 6 minutes because he threw like 3 interceptions
right.
in like 4 possessions of the. Of the ball, and they scored on every one, so the other team was up like 28-0, and with, I don't know, 10 minutes gone in the game. I mean, it was over from the very beginning.
Wow.
So, But he seemed to,
I mean, he didn't have a camp. I mean, he just kind of walked back in. I don't know what his training was like.
Well, he trained with another team, then he was traded.
Yeah, but how long did he get to train with that team? Was it
enough? No, he just got four practices.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought you just mentioned that it was only four, but nothing longer than that. Of course, I guess he could have been training on his own, but still, have to train with a team.
Right. I mean, he was with Edmonton as the backup. He was with Hamilton as the backup quarterback from the beginning, from the beginning of the season, mm-hmm. but he sat the bench and then he was traded, got four practices with the new team and the new playbook and new players and everything else. And I mean, just.
And you're going to need more time.
It wasn't good. He may not be in the NFL in the next year or two.
Yeah.
Or the next. I think he signed a 2-year deal, so I don't think he can play in the NFL for 2 years. Mm.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here this morning. How is everybody doing?
Someone took a photo above the clouds that are above the fires in California. So the bottom of the, you can see this glow coming through these clouds from the fires. Just incredible pictures. Yeah, just, and it, you know, talking to a friend last week about the fires out west and everything else, and, you know, we got into the numbers. The number of wildfires globally, by comparison, is dropping. But in California, it's that cycle. I mean, basically, it's drought, wildfires, then the vegetation that's removed from the wildfires because of that. Anytime you have the heavy rains, you have mudslides, and it seems to be that cycle over and over again for the ages. I mean, that's, as far as I can remember, that's pretty much the way it goes down. But pretty incredible photos coming out of the fires.
This report, in an extensive report, this is from the Daily Caller, but I have the actual report in front of me here, 159-page report. An extensive report by the Environmental Protection Agency found that including ethanol into the U.S. gas supply is hurting the atmosphere and soil. In a study titled Biofuels and the Environment, the second triennial report to Congress, the Environmental Protection Agency determined that ethanol derived from corn and soybeans is causing serious harm to the environment. Water, soil, and air quality were all found to be adversely affected by the biofuel mandates. Evidence since enacted by the Energy Independence and Security Act suggests an increase in acreage planted with soybeans and corn, with strong indications from observed changes in land use that some of this increase is a consequence of increased biofuel production. The ethanol mandate has negatively affected water quality, with greater biofuel production resulting in more harmful algae blooms and hypoxia. While most algae is harmless to water, some forms, such as a kind produced in Lake Erie from biofuel feedstock, has emitted toxic chemicals into the water. The harmful algae can consume the oxygen in the water, a process known as hypoxia, killing other wildlife. Increased irrigation, fueled by growing demand for ethanol, has also taken a toll on the ground, with a report finding that grassland to annual crop conversion negatively impacts soil quality because it increases erosion and a loss of soil nutrients. Essentially, the study found that biofuel mandates are boosting production of corn and soybeans. Large-scale production of these crops is causing environmental degradation. The EPA also found that, at least in some instances, using ethanol in lieu of gasoline resulted in worse air emissions. Air quality modeling suggested production and use of ethanol as a fuel to displace gasoline is likely to increase such air pollutions as PM2.5, ozone, and sulfur monoxide in some locations, read a section of the report pertaining to air quality. While traditional gasoline contains more CO2, ethanol-based fuels have more nitrogen oxides, which can be more harmful to human health. Nitrogen oxide can accelerate asthma by causing inflammation of the respiratory airways with long-term exposure, resulting in decreased lung function. Now, again, they're talking about the actual burning of it. They're not talking about the increased CO2 from farmland to
right.
production. So,
right.
The mandate in reference concerns a renewable fuel standards, a 2005 law that requires oil refineries to include a certain amount of ethanol in their fuel mix. The law was passed with the intention of aiding in climate change efforts. It is proven controversial, with oil producers deriding the mandate as costly and unneeded. Corn growers, however, are supportive of the mandate as it drives demand for the product. So,
right.
During his time leading the EPA, Scott Pruitt became an adversary of ethanol proponents after granting more RFS waivers and pushing for a rollback of the law altogether, which was interesting because the president was for it. It's not clear how the Trump administration will handle the debate moving forward. There you go. It was interesting because Pruitt was against it, and we know that the president, in fact, actively promoted it on the campaign. In fact, those famous words, you can't win Iowa.
Right.
Unless you support the ethanol mandate. And he lost Iowa.
He lost Iowa. Ted Cruz won Iowa. Yeah, it will be interesting to see where they go on that, especially with the EPA and their proposed rule now rolling back the fuel standards, pretty much basically going from a, what was it, 50 miles per gallon plus per fleet average down to 35, somewhere in that range. And we'll see where the final rule comes out on that. But then you start dealing with the other things that are on that plate. And it's been on the plate for a while. So where will the president go on that? Because, well, he would like to win, you know, he would like to do well in the Midwest in 2020. You know, there's not going to be a primary for him, but certainly there's going to be that general election, mm-hmm. as we saw the margin and how some of those states, for a number of reasons, are on, you know, that kind of that delicate line because of trade wars and everything else. So is this something else you want to tackle between now and 2020? I guess is the question.
You know, one of the things that you and I have talked about is, you know, the midterms coming up and 2020 and, you know, what is the outlook for Republicans? What is the outlook for Democrats? Found an interesting piece in the Wall Street Journal, Kimberly Strassel, talking about the president. It's something that you and I have talked about before, that this White House is horrible at communications. Just horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's one thing that I would give them an F on, when I give them a much better grade elsewhere, it would be in communications. And she brings this up. She brings up exactly what we have brought up about so many of the successes that the president has just had recently.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about the fact that the Obama administration's car emission standards.
Mm-hmm.
It will save consumers $500 billion. Dollar-wise, it may be the biggest deregulation ever. The Treasury Department has recommended rescinding the payday lending rule, which threatened to cut off the poorest Americans from viable credit. The Interior Department proposed the first reforms to the Endangered Species Act in decades, offering hope to tens of thousands of landowners. The National Labor Relations Board is revisiting a 2014 decision that allowed unions to poach employer email systems, part of the board's plan to review any case that overruled precedent in the name of Obama union backers. The Internal Revenue Service lifted a political threat to nonprofits by allowing them to shield the names of their donors. The Department of Health and Human Services finalized its rule, allowing more non-Obamacare insurance options to millions of Americans. The Senate sent a $717 billion defense authorization bill to the White House, increasing active duty strength and providing troops their largest pay raise in 9 years. The Senate also just confirmed the 24th Trump Circuit Court judge. The Labor Department released new numbers showing worker compensation increased 2.8% year to year, the fastest pace in a decade. Average home values are rising at twice that pace. Unemployment hit record lows. Second quarter economic growth came in at 4.1%. This is the key to her article, though, all right?
Yeah.
I just wanted to list all the things that she just put in here. All this sounds wonderful. If all this sounds wonderful, it is, though many Americans have heard little about it. The headlines, Mr. Trump publicly lecturing his attorney general. Mr. Trump hashing Charles Koch. More about Russian collusion, provoked by the president's call for the firing of special counsel Robert Mueller. China tariffs, border strife, Michael Cohen, Paul Manafort. And as she writes here, yes, the mainstream media relentlessly drives anti-Trump stories. But that, what's new? Republicans have long known that they don't get a fair hearing from the press, which is why they shifted to talk radio and other alternative media. Mr. Trump understands that better than most, thus his heavy use of Twitter, live rallies, and press conferences. It's the content that is mystifying. To hold the House and increase their Senate majority, Republicans must do two things: get out their base and bring along the center. The president, with an unrivaled bully pulpit, has instituted policies that provide him a near-perfect message for that task. He can rally supporters by banging home his promises kept and warning that only their vote this fall will allow him to continue this mission. And he can court the undecided with constant reminders of their new prosperity and freedom and avow that this is only the beginning. The president is certainly focused on his base, though with an eye to whipping them up with rallies focused primarily on the polarizing issues of trade and immigration. His tweets revolve around those same issues, those in Mr. Mueller, and are often defensive or whiny. This House midterm will hinge on marginal districts, suburban or exurban areas where Hillary Clinton outpolled Mr. Trump or came close. Those races, in turn, will hinge on centrist voters. If Mr. Trump makes those centrists believe this election is about family separation, Republicans lose. If he refocuses it on voters' newly thriving prospects, Republicans have a shot. The aforementioned list of accomplishments is only from the past few weeks. One remarkable aspect of the Trump administration is its productivity. If Mr. Trump isn't going to spend every day embracing, elevated, and making this product of his own presidency the dominant discussion, then no one else will. The press isn't going to do it. Democrats sure aren't. And no other Republicans have that megaphone.
You know, that's so well put, because it's not just about, and everybody talks about, especially people who are strong supporters of the president, they'll say, well, you know, this is him really calling out the media, and I like the fact that he does that. All right. You know, every once in a while, correcting the media, no big deal. But if you're not out there really focusing on the job that you've done already, and all of those positive numbers, then what is the point? And what a great way to put it. Who else is going to do that for you?
You know, we have said this all along. We have, from the very beginning, we have said, look, the communications from the president is terrible. It's awful.
Yeah, right.
And he said tremendous accomplishments that he should be. And the first reaction we get every time we bring it up, well, the media is never going to. And we said, that's why. That's why you need to do your own marketing. That's why, as president, they're going to be there at every single speech that you do. And when the narrative of your speeches is more than attacking the media, even if justifiably so, or immigration every single time, if you tout your accomplishments, if 90% of your speeches are about your accomplishments and the Republicans' accomplishments, and you hammer it home each and every day. Remember, wouldn't it be wonderful if CNN and MSNBC said, we're not going to carry the president's speeches anymore. We're not going to carry his rallies anymore. Mm-hmm. Why do they carry his rallies? Or did I say Israelis? Why did they carry his rallies? Because to them, there's solid meat in it, especially when he attacks for CNN, their network.
Right.
That's why they cover the rallies.
It should be promoting nonstop all the positive things you've accomplished.
But because the president's rallies are still going to be covered in the nightly news. They're going to cover it, and they're going to comment on it. Well, did the president really do this? Fine. Have them talking about what – have them talking your narrative.
Yep.
Not what they believe is their red meat. And look, they believe that the, you know, Jim Acosta thing is their red meat. Mm-hmm. But it has to find – you have to – in order to win, in order for Republicans to win, it's got to be more than just Jim Acosta.
Yes.
It's got to be more than just the president and the – and the fact is, he has it. And they're not promises anymore. They're promises that were delivered.
Mm-hmm.
They're things that America wants to hear about the prosperity. That should be 90-95% of what you are promoting every single day.
And let them fact check that. Let them fact check the
daylight. But it's not going to happen.
No.
It's not going to happen.
No, it's not.
Not going to happen. And I think it's a tremendous error from the White House and from this president. Because when it comes down to it, he is in charge of the message.
Yep.
And if he won't tout his own accomplishments, who will?
Nobody. As she points out, not one person.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Drivers, the Freightliner Team Run Smart Pros are on the road hauling freight just like you. Driver Henry Albert tells us about his Freightliner and shares advice on fuel efficiency.
I'm in a 2018 Cascadia Aero X with the 72-inch raised roof sleeper, DD15 400 downsped, 1,750 foot-pound torque at 975 RPM, attached to the Detroit DT12 automated manual transmission, followed up by the Detroit rear axles with a 2:16 rear axle ratio with ALM. They're actually controlling the amount of lube to hit the ring and pinion in the rears now.
Henry shares some advice on getting the greatest fuel efficiency out of your truck.
What the objectives of all the technology is, learning how to embrace them, and realizing that it's mainly responding to a message you're sending the truck as a driver through the throttle pedal, and it's trying to give you a reply that matches what you asked it to do. So you're in complete control of it. Probably the biggest key with this technology is to know it's not smart or stupid. It's responding to a message that you have sent it.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
He's Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Why we're doomed, coming up.
All right.
Why we
a doomed update.
A doomed update, and it's another survey that's been done on the Constitution. You know, we talked about the separation of powers survey that, what was it, three-quarters of Americans could not name the three branches of government. There were a certain number that could name two, some could name one. But the vast majority, could only name one, I believe.
Right.
The majority could only. But when it came to understanding the three branches of government, three quarters of Americans surveyed couldn't. Which means you have no idea why we live in this society. You have no idea why we're structured the way it is. When those people out there say, well, America isn't exceptional, well, they have no idea why America would be exceptional. They have no idea why the government's formed.
Right.
This is on the First Amendment. It's really amazing. Americans have no idea the ones that are surveyed at least, what's in the First Amendment.
Isn't that a double beef with cheese and a large drink? The number one? Oh.
40% of Americans surveyed could not tell you any rights that are in the First Amendment.
40% couldn't tell you one?
Could not tell you one.
But they'll tell you that Colin Kaepernick is protected by it.
Yep. Well, that's why they would.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even,
they don't know.
They don't even know. And wait till you hear somebody
freedom
of
football.
freedom of football.
to protect you against an oppressive
ownership
league.
Yeah, coming up.
They scare people. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. Red Eye Radio.
That's because ugly faces scare people.
They do.
866-90-RED-EYE. He's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. Okay, a Why We Are Doomed update.
All right.
According to this from the Independent Journal Review, according to the Freedom Forum Institute's annual State of the First Amendment survey, most people have no idea what the First Amendment's about. Of the more than 1,000 people surveyed in May and June of this year, only one person was able to name all first five First Amendment rights, which are, of course, as everybody knows, I'm sure, freedom of the press, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, peaceful assembly, and the freedom to petition the government for a redress of your grievances. Something that you and I have just brought up in the last couple of weeks, that part of the First Amendment, when it comes to people saying, we need to get rid of all the special interests. Well, you can't, the First Amendment. What are you talking about? You have the right to petition the government for a redress of your grievances.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons that McCain-Feingold was shot down.
Right.
Because that actually exists. You have a right to band together with other people to petition the government for a redress of your grievances. All right. Are you ready now?
Okay.
Among those, now, by the way, how many could not name any rights of the First Amendment? Of the 1,000 people surveyed in May and June of this year, only one person out of 1,000 was able to name all five First Amendment rights.
Wow.
40% could not name any right in the First Amendment.
Not one?
Not one. 40%. Among those who could name one, the right to freedom of speech was the most commonly remembered.
Okay.
56% of respondents being able to list it. However, only 15% of respondents knew that the First Amendment, one of the First Amendment rights, was freedom of religion. 13% named freedom of the press. 12% named freedom of assembly. Only 2% were able to tell you that the First Amendment gives you the freedom to petition the government for a redress of your grievances. Wow.
Doomed.
Wow.
Doomed.
Doomed.
Doomed. Y'all don't believe me, but we're doomed.
So we have all these people that have an opinion. We have the ability as never before to instantaneously, within a millisecond, have the Bill of Rights in front of us, to have the Constitution of the United States in front of us, to have the Declaration of Independence in front of us. Like that. And we are more clueless, I won't say than ever, but in a long time. But we are clueless. I'll just say that.
Yes, we are.
We're clueless.
Yes, we are.
I will not give another, I will not reference it to any other time period. I'll just say it is amazing the ignorance that exists in our society today. And so Eric and I are announcing we're leaving because everybody's...
I'm leaving the planet. Elon Musk is going to use his last $4 to get me off of this rock.
So there you go. So it's not only, you know, because some people say, well, come on, the separation of powers. How can you expect to remember executive, judicial, and legislative? I mean, come on.
I mean, that's a total of three things to remember.
I thought it was Curly, Larry, and Mo.
Hey, Mo!
But even the First Amendment. The First Amendment! The majority of Americans don't even know what's in the First Amendment.
Yeah. Where in the world are we going to get the future Supreme Court justices from?
Hey,
where's that going to happen?
Oh, wait a minute.
What?
Now we understand the when fake news is actually really real news. Right, yeah. There.
Right.
And from the Babylon Bee that we started out the show with, the headline, and they're like a parody website, parody news site like The Onion. Senate Democrats demand Supreme Court nominee not be unduly influenced by the U.S. Constitution.
But here's the thing, because they don't know what's in it. They have no idea about the Constitution. Oh, we don't want to. No, we don't want that. We want to lean. We want political activism. That's what we want.
I want my Constitution. I want stuff.
Gary McNamara.
Give me stuff. That's now. Right. You got stuff. I want your stuff too.
What is it? What was the movie? Give me what I... it was a Stephen King movie, I think. Give me what I want and I will go away. Here's the problem. Today's protesters, give me what I want and I'm not going away. I'm going to ask you for more as soon as you give me what I want.
Or in a Charlie Brown Christmas. What was it? Was it Linus's sister? Was it? All I want's what's coming to me. All I want is my fair share.
Right. Fair. Define fair. Mr. Schultz. Sorry. Shouldn't go after Charles Schultz. Sorry.
That was wrong. Well, it was meant not to be a complimentary statement.
Yes. Yeah.
Coming from her.
Mm-hmm.
All I want is what's coming to me. All I want is my fair share. Is that the new U.S. Constitution?
Yeah, my fair share.
Will that be the Ocasio-Cortez First Amendment?
Yeah.
Of the new Constitution of America. All I want is what's coming to me. Yeah. All I want is my fair share.
I just want my fair share. Yeah.
So we'll go through it one more time. Are you ready?
All right. What?
Of the more than 1,000 people surveyed, only one person was able to name all by First Amendment rights, which, of course, freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of religion, freedom to peacefully assemble, and the freedom to petition the government for a redress of grievances. 56% were able to say freedom of speech. Only 15% knew freedom of religion. 13%, naming freedom of the press. 12% freedom to peacefully assemble. And a measly 2%, as they write here, naming the freedom to petition the government. Among some incorrect answers were the right to bear arms and the right to vote.
You're just lumping everything in, right?
On the bright side, the percentage of Americans unable to name a single First Amendment right has not increased since 2016. However, the percentage was lower in 2014 and 2015. So there you go.
Yeah. All right.
The survey comes amid a national debate regarding whether or not free speech includes hate speech. Well, again, when you have no clue as to what it is.
Yeah, right. Then, because that's where you start picking and choosing what you want to be in it, right? If you don't know what's in it, you'll just populate the First Amendment yourself. Here's what should be in it. Here's what it should include and not include.
But in all seriousness, we hear that all the time.
Sure.
People believe the Constitution is what they think it should be.
Exactly.
Not what it actually is.
Right.
I have this right. Well, actually, you don't. Look, how much time did we spend getting criticized when we said there is no constitutional right for the government to recognize marriage? Remember that with the whole gay marriage thing? There is no right for the government to recognize a heterosexual marriage or a homosexual marriage.
Right.
There's no right. Maybe a licensing process. There is no right for the government to recognize and say, okay, you're officially a marriage and, you know, and now we can proclaim it to the world. There is no right. Doesn't exist. You may wish for it to exist, but it does not exist.
Things I want.
It's building a wish list. Healthcare is a right.
Exactly.
No, it's not.
I want it to be, so it is.
Right. I want it to be a right, therefore it is a right.
Yes.
Housing is a right. No, it is not a right.
No.
You may think it is a right. It is not a right.
Well, because if you think that, then we always go back to the very first and most immediate need.
Water and food are a right.
Water and food are a right.
I'm not going to pay my water bill this month.
Which means that the government provides free, and that would be local government. That's, I mean, your city
right.
provides it, or your county if you live out in the rural area. Or your well. And the entire equation would have to start with that. Consideration would be, well, the government should pay for everyone's food. If it's a basic right, it is a basic need. Is it not? It's a basic right. Well, then the government should provide it for all. If you're talking single-payer health care, single-payer food and water first and foremost. Single-payer. There is single-payer in my house. It's me.
Clothes.
Exactly. Yeah. All the basic essentials. Transportation.
In the summertime when it gets really hot.
Mm-hmm.
Bikinis.
Exactly. Which is exactly what I was trying to tell my wife the other day. It's a right! She told me to take it off. It's not a right. It's ugly. Yeah, exactly.
Now my brain is doomed. Mm-hmm. All right, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Let's go to Philip in West Virginia about the poll that was done on the First Amendment where we're clueless. Hi, Philip. Welcome. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Hey.
I think the technology has led to a lot of the cluelessness. This technology is available in milliseconds, like you said. So I think people, they don't learn because they think, well, I don't need to know that because I can just Google it or I can look it up and find my answer. I don't need to remember anything. How many people do you know that can't even remember their mom or dad's telephone number?
You mean when we were young? Or do you mean now?
Now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, now.
Now I can't even remember telephone numbers.
I can tell you, I do know, even though it's all pushed, I do know my phone number, and I do know my parents' phone number, and I do know both of my phone numbers, my actual landline and my cell number.
Yeah.
But that's an accomplishment.
We just rely too much on technology.
The what?
We just rely too much on the technology. Yeah.
No, I think you're onto something, Philip, because back in the day, remember, you couldn't bring a calculator into class. Now they require you to have a calculator, and they actually let students use tablets and phones and everything else. And I understand being able to use it, but beyond that, what are you doing? If research today is different than it used to be. I mean, if there are a lot of great teachers that will have them cite their sources. All right, here's what pages did you use? But I think it also creates a habit where they can just Google something and feel like, I don't need to recall this. I can recall it on my phone anytime I need to, or on my tablet or whatever, anytime I need to. And that's the difference. Doing research is one thing. It's a tool of the trade. But it's not the same as learning.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Hurley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He's Eric Hurley and I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning. You know, I was thinking, Eric, about the poll.
Yeah,
on the First Amendment, where it showed that of Americans polled, most are clueless as to what's in the First Amendment of the United States. They don't even know. 40% couldn't name one freedom guaranteed in the First Amendment. Mm. They couldn't even name freedom of speech. 40% couldn't name one. Only 2% knew, petition the government for redress of your grievances. For the rest, freedom of religion, freedom of press, freedom of assembly, roughly between 12 and 15% knew that. Just this weekend, you know, the protests that were going on, for example, in Portland,
mm-hmm.
The protests that constantly go on, what you see in social, social media, what I read in op-ed pieces, there is so much ignorance, but so much passion promoting personal opinion, not based on any fact. That I think and I look, that's why it's easy to for I think people to say, for example, Donald Trump is a fascist. Donald Trump is a Nazi. They don't even know what a fascist or a Nazi is. I say fatsy
or a fatsy.
A fatsy.
That was my nickname in high school.
Fatsy. But seriously, they don't even know
Yeah.
You know, right. what a Nazi is, what a fascist is.
Well, they don't know what socialism is because
they don't.
When you see the rise in these democratic socialist clubs in universities, well, what is that? They've been told it's about the redistribution of wealth. Go after the billionaires' money so you can have some. Well, who in college has a ton of money? They're not billionaires. Of course they want that end of it. What they've been told is that redistribution of income, essentially, and they do the very quick math, oh, that's going to work in my favor. They're going to go after the billionaires and give me some of that. Well, they're in college. They're broke. They have no money. They've earned nothing yet. Wait until they become like, oh, I don't know, 50. A great number of them will change their minds about not what they have, but what they've earned.
And you hit it right there that I have always thought this, and I was only a couple of years into talk radio when I realized just from observing people's opinion, when it's something that you do every single day, when you observe. And I remember I was working as a talk show host. I was in talk radio. This had to be about 90. This had been 93. So I was in talk radio since 89. So it was my fourth year in talk radio. I remember saying I worked in one town and the mayor said that racism is the worst problem that we have. And I said it at that time, and I'll say it now. Hatred is not the worst problem that we have. Racism is not the worst problem that we have. I really think, and I don't think this is said enough, I really believe that the everything that it may come out as hate, it may come out as racism. The statements may be perceived as racist, but I think the biggest problem that we have is one of the biggest problems we've had all throughout history, and that's envy and jealousy. I really believe that that's what drives almost everything. Not that there aren't people that just hate you because they hate you and whatever, they hate you because you have a different opinion. When you see everything of where our society is going right now, when you see the socialist mindset, I saw I've seen the memes. Socialism has failed and failed and failed and failed and failed, and today's young person now believes that socialism is going to work. I don't think that's the case.
Right.
I don't believe that young people or even somebody like Ocasio-Cortez looks at history and says socialism has been a wonderful success. I believe it gets down to jealousy and envy, and they believe that they can market that as a political concept that can get them to a victory. There's no way you can look at socialism leading to communism and say that it has been successful worldwide. I don't think the majority of young people probably joining the socialist clubs understand even what socialism is or
right.
studied socialism.
Right.
What they view is, oh, it's going to make my life easier. Oh, I mean, what was the last election about? What was the Democratic primary about? It was Bernie Sanders saying, you young people are getting screwed by the billionaires.
Yep.
The billionaire should pay for your college. That the billionaire must be doing something wrong. That successful people are doing something wrong. And you deserve some of it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not, to me, it's not real. It may turn into socialism. But I believe socialism and communism is the result of politicians successfully peddling jealousy and envy as a legit political idea.
Right.
And that by peddling jealousy and envy and not focusing in a society of individuality and freedom and opportunity to fail or succeed. Jealousy and envy to me, other people may think different, but I've always viewed jealousy and envy as something that is supposed to take away the reality and the fear that comes with, oh my God, I've got to do it on my own. Oh, my God, right. Life is on me.
Right.
Oh, my God, I can't believe that life, that I've got to do it myself. Then really, if I'm going to succeed, nobody else is going to do it for me. I've got to do it. It's all on me. I've got... And I believe that it's that envy and jealousy, as it's marketed in politics today, that young people love it because they look at life just like we looked at it. And the majority of our parents said, it's on you.
Yep.
You have to succeed.
Yep.
You have to fail. And what they're being told is, oh, your lot in life and your fear is not a legit fear. Your fear is the result of oppression from somebody else.
Yes.
We're not really marketing socialism and communism. People aren't sitting around saying, let's talk theoretically about what Marx was actually promoting.
Mm-hmm.
No. It's jealousy and envy. That's what it is. That's what our society is now promoting. And they can't, and Ocasio-Cortez and a Bernie Sanders can't say that's what he's promoting. What he's saying is he's promoting unfairness. I'm promoting unfairness
right.
in the system.
It's unfair that they have.
Right.
Now, they'll use words like have when they should use earned. And we've pointed that out several times, but they have all of this. Look what they have. Look what they can do. Who was it? Alan Grayson? Remember when he stood up? And this was at the... They were going to extend... the tax cuts for the rich. That's how they phrased it on Capitol Hill. And I think it was that his last week or last few weeks in power? Because I think he lost the month before because this was in a December. But he was up there on Capitol Hill. So he's up there on the floor. And he's showing you all of the things that the rich people can buy if we don't take this amount of money from them, that amount of money that they wanted to essentially to tax, this is what this savings, this average savings for the rich people could buy them. And we played the audio from that and stopped him on every item. He even did the Grey Poupon thing, which was the stupidest thing. But we said, well, no. Let's stop and talk about the economy of just one jar of mustard and where the paint comes from, where the glass comes from, who ships it, how it's shipped, and how many jobs are created. And they always talk about, well, they have. And that, look how many people you could feed instead of buying this. Well, they do feed them. Capitalism is the original crowdfunding. When you look at the entire equation of how an economy works, this is the class that accounts for well over 50% of retail spending and investment, including investments in businesses, small business and larger. But small business collectively employs the most Americans. They forget all of that. They need you to not know all of that. And if you choose to be ignorant, that's on you. But we go back to the whole First Amendment poll, and we go back to the three branches of government poll. And if you're going to have that willful ignorance, then expect that any number or all of those elected officials will be able to fool you into anything because you've chosen not to know how it works.
Right. It's not that because we again, it's not that, well, socialism has failed. How can they want it? Well, they're not to that point yet. They
right.
can't even tell you what freedom of speech is about. They don't even
right.
know. They don't even know why the government's set up the way that it is.
Exactly.
They're on a much basic level where the politicians out there, the Democrats, you know, peddling socialism to them. They're not peddling socialism. What they're peddling is you don't have to worry about your own life anymore because there is that fear that we all feel at that time. I've said that many times. My greatest motivator has been fear.
Yeah.
That's always been my greatest motivator.
No doubt.
Has been fear. Now, the whole thing is you don't want the fear to encompass you and disable you from moving forward. And so you learn to face those fears, and then you learn eventually to embrace those fears. You don't, it's not a fear anymore. And this is what we're supposed to teach our kids to, you know, in the process of becoming an adult, that what is a fear today becomes that challenge.
Right.
And then you actually look forward to that challenge. And that's how we're supposed to be actually developing the human personality and the human mind. But I think that when you peddle socialism, what you're peddling is the opposite. The fear that you have is wrong. You shouldn't have that fear that the burden of succeeding is on you. That's unfair. Mm-hmm. It's unfair, and that guy over there is screwing you, and you should just have a life that is just wonderful, and everything can be taken care of. And if all of your education is taken care of, and you have a guaranteed job, that there are no worries for you, and therefore it all goes fine.
Right.
Well, that's not understanding human nature. Human nature doesn't work that way. Human nature and developing, I believe, the mindset that we want in human beings is to become productive, to embrace life, to challenge life, not to fear life. And that's actually what socialism is to me. Socialism is fearing life. And so you create this pretend world that everything can be taken care of for you. And if everything's taken care of for you, that then you become a more productive person. No, just the opposite.
Exactly. Because remember Nancy Pelosi. Well, you shouldn't have to worry about anything. You should be able to, you know, quit your job and go pursue your dreams and let the government pay for this and that. Well,
no.
When you look at the very basic survival instinct, that's what this comes down to. It's scary as hell. No doubt, especially when you're young. But that's why you get the education or the training or whatever it might be.
The encouragement. The coaching.
Well, that's it.
Everything and, that comes. But that's what adults are supposed to be teaching.
For generations, we have taught them that, no, you're a victim and things shouldn't count against you when you keep score on the ball field. Then someone has to be a loser. Yep, they do.
Think about it. The adults were absolutely paranoid about the fear of young children losing a Little League game.
Right. Man, some of the greatest lessons of all, and trust me, the teams I was on lost a lot, were after losing a game. And whether someone was there to point it out or it took me a little bit to figure it out myself, I did figure it out or someone did help me figure it out, and those are the greatest lessons. And that is, number one, I shouldn't play sports. And number two, if I'm gonna, you better show up. You better try. You better practice. If you want to be great at it, you don't just hop onto the ball field and win games.
Yeah, sports was a great teacher for me, too, because I got cut, as I've said, from the Little League team's cut. I was a little scrawny kid. I'm not, you know, the beast of a man that I am today. I was just a scrawny little kid, and I got cut from every single team I ever tried out for, I got cut from.
Yep.
It was as my parents would say, you'd cry for 10 minutes and you'd be out throwing the ball again.
Right.
Greatest lesson ever. There's no greater thing that ever happened to me in my life that the adults probably viewed as a tragedy, and it wasn't. Because what did it tell me? Try again.
Efrain Valdez.
Failure is a part of life.
The coach that said, seriously looked at me, have you considered band? I started playing, and when it was all said and done, I had learned multiple instruments. And it was one of the greatest lessons, and still today I thank him for, and he was very nice about it. He wasn't making fun of me.
He still throws a ball like an Eric.
I still throw a ball like a guitar player.
I didn't want to be gender. I didn't want to have any gender discrimination there.
No, just say guitar player Eric. Or bass players. Okay. That's even, right. Yeah, there you go.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. Let's go to Jim in Prescott, Washington. Jim, hi. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
thank you. I enjoy your program always. To illustrate how ridiculous it is that that people are so ignorant of the Constitution, adults who presumably have some sort of an education. My wife and I homeschooled our kids, and when my son was 16, he not only knew the First Amendment thoroughly, he could name every amendment to the Constitution, when it was ratified and adopted, all the content of the amendments and the circumstances, court decisions, proposals, and so on that led up to the proposal and ratification of each one. I have talked with politicians, state representatives, and so on, and candidates for those offices, as well as a judge who was running for re-election who admitted to me that they either had never read the Constitution or had not read it since they were in high school. And the judge in question actually said, he tried to shrug it off and deflect the question by saying that in his courtroom, he really did the matters that he decided really had nothing to do with the Constitution.
Wow.
That's Jim, thank you for sharing. We're out of time, but wow. That's just incredible. For VDO Road Log, here's your forecast.
If you reside in a location that has been particularly rainy or perhaps hot or dry, expect more of the same as we're seemingly locked into this pattern as we begin the work week. We do have a major change, though, in our hurricane forecast for the remainder of the year. A well-known source of hurricane prediction, Colorado State University, has lowered their expected number. 12 now total named storms, the forecast, with 5 becoming hurricanes, and only 2 are expected to be Category 3 or higher. Good news for anyone along the Atlantic or with coastal interests. They say Atlantic water temperatures are too cool for hurricane development, but we need to keep watching the Gulf. That can be a game changer. We should top out today in Dallas over the triple-digit mark. Chicago will hit 87. New York City, 90 degrees. In Denver, 88 for today's high. There's your national forecast. From Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
To have the conversation. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric. I'm Gary. 866-90 Red Eye. Good morning. Welcome. I just wanted to throw that out because that study that was done, or the survey that was done on the Constitution or on the First Amendment, where the vast majority of people can't even tell you what's in the First Amendment. 40% have no idea. They can't even tell you if freedom of speech is in there. They have no idea what the First Amendment is about. And so when you look at that overall, as I've said, I think ignorance today is larger than it's ever been before. When you see all these protests out there, when these people are screaming, my right is this, my right is that, you know, healthcare is a right, you're talking about people that are completely clueless as to why we live in this society.
Right.
And just overall, I really believe that to look at the entire picture, and I believe this for a couple of decades now, that the problem is not racism in this country. It's not hate. It's jealousy and envy, because we hear all the time, people hate, people hate. What does that mean? No, what it actually comes down to is envy and jealousy. When you really break it down, that's what it comes down to. You have something, and I'm being treated unfairly because you have something, and I should get part of it, which is a natural emotion. I think it's important to bring that out because we get into the discussions on socialism and communism, and it's not that America is becoming socialist and say, you know something, we've done our research and socialism / communism has been so wildly successful across the world. Nobody is saying that. Okay, I won't say nobody. There's always the few people that say, well, it works in Sweden. and besides Sweden, then they sort of, nobody is saying Venezuela. By the way, very quickly here.
Yeah.
The drone thing?
Yeah.
I just, again, do we know exactly what it was? They claim it was a drone thing. You think about that because we've talked about the, you know, how I'm sure the Secret Service and everybody is looking at drones and drone technology. And you and I've talked about this many times, that when will terrorists start using drones? And was that the first attempt? Now, they claim it was. I don't know for a fact that it was a drone.
Right. And my question would be, okay, there's a couple of things going on. You had Maduro just last week talking about how socialism really isn't working in Venezuela. But then you have, of course, the greater impact of socialism, which has destroyed their economy. Their economy is going to contract by 10% or more for the year. They have inflation at over 1,000,000%. It's as bad can get. Well, just when you say that, of course, it's going to get worse if something doesn't change. But you see this as, at the very least, whether the person or persons responsible for the attack were thinking they were going to actually pull it off and get rid of Maduro and assassinate him, or if they thought, we'll cause some noise, we'll send a message. It's unknown. But there's no doubt that it is a failing situation. There is no way around it. The only way, and even Maduro days ago basically saying it, the only way to get out of it is to reverse the socialism thing. But I don't know how Maduro does that without eventually and pretty quickly losing power. He's likely going to lose that power anyway. There's the people of Venezuela are starving. It's just not going to stand when they have so much in natural resources. And you couple that with how much the U.S. is increasing their own domestic drilling and output. They become less relevant by the second, the bigger we become. And they're going to have to make some deals very, very quickly to get their economy back. But I don't know if that's going to happen in the next couple of years. And I think Maduro will likely be out of power by then. But, yeah, if you really had the true history lesson on socialism, and it starts with those principles of going after that capital. We must go after that capital. In this case, build the jealousy and the envy to the extent that it is, again, the protester looking to get more and more and more. And then they become active in the politics, and then we're going to raise taxes again on the rich. We're going to, and that's how you start that. And the idea is to raise it to the extent that the government controls more and more
right.
of that capital.
And when you look at the, as we talk about the morality behind it, so you start with, you know, you start with the socialism in a democracy, which, you know, starts out taking, you know, the capital of people, and then it starts taking over the industries that commonly were privately held. Then as it involves and gets, you know, evolves into communism, is where it then controls all of the industries and then moves from a democratic form to either a dictatorial form or a one-party form, which it has to, because at that point, if you control all the means of production, which is the capital and the industries at that endpoint of communism, then private property rights go away, because with private property rights comes influence, and that cannot be allowed. And so when you look at that, nobody is actually, you know, promoting that that's what they want to be as the end game. They use the term socialist, but it's about socialism, and communism has always been sold as jealousy and envy. You know, the workers, it's for the workers, it's for the workers. We're the workers' party, it's the workers' party, it's a workers' party. And as you find out, actually it isn't the workers' party, it isn't the top 1% party, it's the top 0000000000 top 1%.
Yes.
That haves, and the rest are the have nots. but everything around it. You know, we talk about, you know, the whole racism. Racism is used in order to demonize, for example, your opponent, who you wish to get stuff from.
Mm-hmm.
We wish, you know, we don't like this guy. But everything, you know, the ignorance that's thrown out there, you know, Trump being called a fascist or a Nazi, whatever. Well, you can use those terms because they don't mean anything.
Right.
They haven't been defined.
Right.
They haven't done, it's whatever people wish for it to be. And when we talk about, you know, you look at the New York Times reporter, Sarah Zhang, I think her name.
Yeah.
Zhang.
Zhang.
And, you know, not only did, you know, and the excuse that was given, well, since she was attacked by racists, well, then she can be racist back. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Sure.
You know, and,
right.
And then when she got not to just the racist rhetoric, but as somebody else pointed out, the eliminationist rhetoric, cancel white people, get rid of the entire race. Mm-hmm. Think about that when you're talking about jealousy and envy driving everything. Well, then anything bad, you know, anything evil comes along to justify your jealousy and envy. You can be outwardly racist as she is, and the acceptance comes from the left. Nobody from the right could ever get away with what she did. No one.
No. Well, the president is called racist all the time.
Yep.
Now imagine that he put out a bunch of tweets of, you know, get rid of this ethnicity or that ethnicity. And that's exactly what she was doing.
And so when you base your philosophy
mm-hmm.
on things that are on character traits that are immoral,
mm-hmm.
jealousy and envy, then everything is open territory from that point on. And
right.
that's what we're really dealing with in our society.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, well, people just hate. They hate. No, they don't.
No.
No, they've been taught that, look, you don't need to face your fears of growing up to be an adult. Somebody else should take care of you. And in order to do that, you're a victim. That's an oppressor. The oppressor is evil in every way. And you have to do that. You've got to demonize the oppressor to justify your bad character traits of jealousy and envy. It's just natural.
And, you know, I think when we talk about how I've said, I believe the left thought that they had won the White House forever. And what comes with that? Redistribution of rights. Remember the whole Joe the Plumber thing,
mm-hmm.
the conversation? You know, at some point, I believe you've made enough money.
Yep.
And that was the new thing. I mean, that's what had been for the left had been accomplished. When you see the hatred for Trump, a lot of the, and I do believe that really is just a deep-seated hatred, but it is based on the fact that because they, you know, when he was a celebrity, they didn't hate him. But he's rolling back that idea that you're going to get something for nothing.
Right.
What he's doing is rolling out a greater opportunity for you and your family when he rolls back regulation. And tariffs, not so much, and we can have that discussion. But lowering taxes, jobs being created.
China's one thing, but Europe and Canada, I mean, how heavily do we disagree with the president on that?
Right.
I mean, passionately, we disagree with what the president's doing. I think it's abhorrent, the mixed messages, which, again, he went from the ultimate protectionist to the ultimate free trader to now, over the weekend, the ultimate protectionist again.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's damaging to the economy. It's damaging to the markets. It's damaging to farmers,
mm-hmm.
and there is no end game that he has announced now because now it seems as if he's changed his mind again. You can't do that in a free economic society.
Exports down $238 billion May over April.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at that, that's a massive hit. Because we are talking about, it's not just major industry. We are talking about family-owned businesses.
But that being said, and we've had long discussions on
mm-hmm.
that,
mm-hmm.
I don't hate the president because of that, because I believe he truly believes it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he truly believes, I believe, even though he has changed his mind over and over again,
mm-hmm.
I believe he's a protectionist. Why? Because that's what he's been his entire life.
Mm-hmm.
So when he comes out as the free trader, we were hopeful that Kudlow was getting his ear. But over the weekend, man, some of the things that he threw out about were just mind-boggling. But I don't hate him for it. I don't. Mm-hmm. He's just dead wrong on it.
Well, you know, I guess the bright spot, and we don't know which, you know, side to believe, because when he called in to Rush Limbaugh to wish him happy 30th anniversary, he was talking about trade and said, you know, look, we're getting a deal done with Europe, and we're going to get a new NAFTA deal done, and it's on the way. Things are going to be great. And if you're just isolating China, that's one thing if it ends up being that. But if that ends up being that, that's likely because of advisors, to be clear. As you just stated, it's a lifelong position of protectionist policy. That's mm-hmm. what that's been.
Right.
And that's gone on for decades. So, but if we get there, we get there. We'll see if we actually get there.
Right. But the fact is, you can passionately disagree with someone.
Sure.
But the envy and jealousy that has turned into, remember, that's what they think. You know, they, look, right. this is right. a guy that's talking about opportunity, but
oh, yeah.
We're not just going to give you stuff. Well, right. they want the stuff. And if you're not going to give them the stuff, then you are evil. You are pure evil.
Right.
That there is an expectation that we want our stuff. That's what it all comes down
to. Oh, sure. Yes. And he's rolling that back. And that's where I think a lot of this is being driven from.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary, he's Eric. And, you know, with Sarah Jung, the New York Times member of the editorial board,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, well, free speech. I'm not calling for her to be fired. I'm just setting out what she is and showing the double standard. If the New York Times wishes to justify blatant eliminationist racist rhetoric, then we all know very clearly, because of social media, what type of mindset the New York Times wants their editorial staff
mm-hmm.
and their writers to have.
Mm-hmm.
That simple.
Yep.
Now we know. You can't hide it. And that's the only thing that I expect in this society is, give me the information. Let me know the truth. Let me get the transparency.
We know who you are.
Right. I may not be able to change the direction of where you're going to go, but I don't wish to change you. If you wish to promote racism, then thank you for making it so clear to us, New York Times.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for letting us
problem.
Know that you accept that even eliminationist racism.
Right.
Thank you.
Yep.
Made our job easy.
We know where you stand.
Yeah, we know exactly.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.